every minute of every day, the earth has struck approximately 6,000 lightning strikes. The average lightning bolt travels about 30,000 times faster than a bullet and can reach 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, hotter than the surface of the sun. However, it's a myth that lightning never strikes twice in the same place. For instance, the top of the Empire State Building averages about over 20 hits per year. In like manner, the Bible predicts the Holy Spirit will come upon the church again in the last days with the same light and power as in the days of Pentecost. This is continuing from Pastor Batchelor. I don't know if anybody, I want this to be interactive someday. I don't know if anybody knew about the lightning striking the earth, like 6,000 strikes. And it's 30,000 times faster than a bullet and can reach 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit, which is hotter than the surface of the sun. And then it never strikes. Anybody ever thought lightning never strikes twice? That's not true. And they've recorded how many times, for instance, the Empire State Building in New York City gets struck, over 20 hits per year. So Pastor Doug says, whenever I teach on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, it can be a little bit overwhelming because the topic is so big. It's infinite in scope. At the same time, he's saddened and even burdened by the fact that so many church-going Christians are confused about the nature and role of this absolutely real but admittedly mysterious person of the eternal Godhead. To put it mildly, the Holy Spirit is under attack by self-identifying Christians like never before. And I don't think this phenomenon is a mere coincidence considering our place in the end-time events. In these last days, we're going to need God's Spirit to energize us like a lightning bolt from heaven, so that it is not surprising that the devil has chosen to sow confusion among the church about this subject. It's important for us to take some time to dive into the Word of God and to get to know the Holy Spirit. So not too long ago, I joined my sister's church. My sister and I were born and raised in this church. She and her husband lives in Tennessee right now, and their church was doing 40 days of prayers and devotions to revive your experience with God by Dennis Smith. And so I chose to join that. And that's a big commitment. We did 40 days, a little devotional, and then people would pray and discuss the topic. And it was very much a spiritual blessing to me, and made me really think about more about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's function in my life and our lives today. So I know that now I have a greater new appreciation for the Holy Spirit and felt inspired to share it with you today. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for the Sabbath day that you have given us, that we could be in your house of worship. And I ask you to help me with this presentation. Even though it seems like we can't maybe use the slides, I ask that you will guide me through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to ask a question. When you hear the word Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, what do you naturally think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And there are some microphone or two maybe that's going to go around. So when somebody says to you, oh, this is from the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, what do you think? Do you naturally think it's a power like electricity, or is it a person like a mentor? Person. Yes? Did you want to say?
Yes, it's that voice within you.
The voice within you, right. I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up. I can't hear. Yes, conscience. Okay. So we're going to go through this, and So we're going to explore the person, the purpose, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So some people might, if you're talking to other religions or even maybe some members, you might feel they might feel a bit mysterious when they talk about the Holy Spirit. And there's another word for the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And he's a very vital part of the Godhead. But is he actually a ghost? Does he? No, he's not a ghost. And some people teach that he's actually a ghost or a mere influence or force that comes from God. Some people might call it an it or a thing, but the Bible is clear that the Holy Ghost is a real being. The Holy Spirit is a he with his own identity, personality, and purpose. So here are some clues for the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And these are just a few clues. There's a lot of clues in the Bible. So did anybody know that during creation, the Holy Spirit was present in creation, right? And if we had time to look up all these verses, we would. I'm just going to pause a minute. If you guys could pass out those papers. So I'm passing out a picture of a tree, and we'll get to that later. But you might want to write notes for that, which is fine. So the Holy Spirit was present at creation, and does anybody know what that verse says? He was hovering over the face of the world. Yes. And at the end, we're going to look up that one, Revelation 22:17. We'll look up that one together, Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So the Spirit is present at creation. At the end of Revelation, he's mentioned. The Spirit expresses love. He possesses love, and he expresses love. Romans talks about that. So if it was just an it or a thing or a force, that wouldn't be able to express any love. The Spirit has feelings, right? The Spirit has feelings. So if we do something that is against God's will, you know, we do our own thing, we sin, we can actually grieve the Holy Spirit. And again, if it was an unseen force or just an it, it wouldn't be able to be grieved. The Spirit of God is the Spirit is God and eternal. In Hebrews 9:14, the Holy Spirit is God. It talks about that and is one of the three persons of the Godhead and is eternal. So we're going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit. There's quite a few things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Let's turn to John 14:16-17. John 14:16-17. And if someone would like to read that out loud, nice and loud for me. John 14:16-17. So the Holy Spirit, he advocates for us, and he talks to God about us. That's in Romans 8:26. Did anybody know that the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture? Right? Do you think that that's found in 2 Peter 1:21? So when people wrote the Scriptures, which became the Bible, the Holy Spirit was present, encouraging them what to say and telling them what to say, how to record things. They didn't just do it on their own. The Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. Let's look up Judges 14:6. Judges 14:6. Judges 14:6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. I don't know if that's the right one. And the Holy Spirit was present at Jesus' conception, right? The Holy Spirit came to Mary and told her what the plan was, and that she would become a child and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that the baby's name would be called Jesus. So, wrapping it up, and for this section, the Holy Spirit is a He with His own identity, personality, and purpose. The work of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, some of that you can't see, but this is referencing John 14, 6, and 17. The Holy Spirit is our helper, the one called alongside us, and he's always present and never leaving. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So he's our helper. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He consecrates our lives to reflect his glory. He cleanses us from within. And he works in us daily to produce holiness as we yield to him, shaping us into God's likeness. And 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms us from glory to glory, shaping us into the very image of Christ. So if we let him work in us daily, he will work and change us. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen all of a sudden. He will work with us daily to change us into what Jesus is. And 2 Corinthians says, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So he gives us also spiritual gifts, prophecy, healing, tongues and interpretation, and we know what that means, right? On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on the believers who had been praying for the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came down like tongues of fire on their head, and they were able to preach the word, and people could hear it in their own language. The Holy Spirit gives us faith, which is really kind of like a supernatural trust in God's power. He gives us divine insight into our and truths, and also he gives us the ability to discern spirits and truth. And 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, all these are the work of one of the same Spirit. He distributes to them to each, just as he determines. So he determines that. He gives us love. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Can everybody hear me okay? I'm going to read it from here. I can't see it. The Holy Spirit fills us with hope. So when we're down and out and we're talking to the Lord, the Holy Spirit gives us hope to hang on. He anchors our souls with confident expectation in his promises. He renews our perspective and he helps us lift our eyes beyond present circumstances. Sometimes it's really hard. We talked about that a little bit in Sabbath school. You know, if bad things are happening to us, our eyes are on ourselves. He helps us to direct our eyes toward Jesus. And he gives us assured inheritance. Right now, we can be assured that we have an inheritance through Jesus and that we can have eternal life. The Holy Spirit teaches and gives us insight. He brings to us remembrance. I often think about as I get older and because I have wasted some time, maybe in my youth, young adult, or whenever, can't remember as well as I could. But it was really interesting. I was going through these questions on YouTube, and it said fill in the gaps, and it was there were phrases from Scripture, and I was able to remember those. So if we can't think we can, don't think we can remember them now, the Lord will help bring to those things to our remembrance when we really need them, especially in the end. So the Holy Spirit helps us understand the deep things of God. So when we study the Bible, He helps us understand and illuminates what our natural mind can never perceive on our own. He gives us spiritual insight beyond natural perception. He grants that to us. So whatever we can't perceive, we can see through with our faith, we can see what has been hidden before and hidden to the world. And John 14:26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Everything. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. He prays through us. He aligns our hearts with the will of the Father. So if we think that we are not making sense when, or we don't know what to pray for when we're praying, the Holy Spirit takes our words, and He also gives us what to pray for, but takes our words and sends them to the Father so they are understandable. Romans 8:26, "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans." He empowers us for evangelism. So when Derek was talking about going to Wisner Park, and maybe we'll be going to the fairground again this year with some spiritual things to feed people and some health things on health and wellness, that is a part of evangelism. And He will give us, the Holy Spirit will give us the power to know what to say. I can think of an example of a couple times in Windsor Park. One lady came up to me and she got a bunch of information, and they mainly it was spiritual stuff. And she said, "Oh, you know, I watched Doug Batchelor, and I know he's a Seventh-day Adventist." And I said, "Yes, that is true. And her husband came along, and he was looking, and he said, but I don't think it matters what day you worship on." And I remember saying, "Oh, Holy Spirit, you got to help me with this one." And hopefully I relayed to that person what I thought Jesus wanted him to hear. So they went away. So we plant the seeds, and right, the Holy Spirit does the rest. He gives us boldness to proclaim the gospel without fear. So if you feel like you have fear, like I'm a little shaken right now, you know, it's not always easy to get up front. The Holy Spirit can help us with fear, any kind of fears we have. He can do that for us. And the Holy Spirit draws the whole world to Christ. He draws people to Christ and convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So wrapping it up, He's our helper. He makes us holy. He transformed us to be Christ-like. He guides and illuminates us. He equips the body, the whole body of the church. He pours God's love into our hearts, fills us with confident expectation, instructs and reminds us, intercedes through us, and He powers our witness. So how can we receive the Holy Spirit? What do we have to do to receive the Holy Spirit? Ask and seek earnestly. Luke 11:13. So in this verse, Jesus encourages us to ask for the Holy Spirit. He is so willing, but waits for us to actively seek Him. It's just not a one-time thing, a one-time asking. It's a daily and continual pursuit. So we have to be earnest about that. You know what? And we don't even have the power to want to do that on our own. I found myself praying to asking the Holy Spirit, please, give me the desire to spend time in God's Word. Give me the desire to pray, right? We don't have that on our own. But if we do it earnestly, we will receive it. Be born in the Spirit, John 3:5. Let's look up John 3:5 together. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we have to have a rebirth, and the Holy Spirit gives us that rebirth. He transforms our old self into a new self. We are baptized by the water when we are baptized, you know, when we accept the Lord and the truth, we are baptized in the water, but he also baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And the baptism of the Spirit represents the empowerment he gives us for a life of holiness. So when you're baptized, even if it's been a long, long time ago, I can remember I was baptized when I was probably 12 or 13. And I've been re-baptized quite a while ago. But so when you're baptized, it signifies cleansing us, right? And dying to self. The Holy Spirit then gives us the power to live the life of holiness. The Holy Spirit helps us to yield to God's will. When we are willing to surrender our own desires for God's purposes, then that will happen. Romans 12:1 encourages us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to take control. So, when we are willing. So, again, we might have to ask the Holy Spirit, please make me willing to be surrender myself, get rid of my old self, get rid of my will, and put myself to death, and you take over and help me to do your will. And it's daily abiding in Jesus. Let's look up John 15:5, right? A few chapters over. John 15, verse 5. And this is, I really appreciate the children's story, because this talks about it here in John 15:5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." So we can't even do anything spiritually unless the Holy Spirit abides in us, the Lord abides in us daily. Okay. So now we're going to talk about receiving the early and latter rain. So there are two rains, right? Are we in the early rain right now? Yes, right? The early rain started at Pentecost, and that launched the church. The latter rain is the final intense outpouring of the Holy Spirit to empower believers to finish the work. The latter rain ripens the spiritual harvest of humanity and prepares believers for the second coming of Jesus. So, back in Israel in autumn, after they had planted the seeds, they waited for it used to be called the former rain or early rain, it's the same thing. Why was it necessary to have two rains? Who's a gardener? Plants seeds, grows plants. All right. When you plant, you have to water that for it to germinate and for it to grow. That symbolically refers to the Holy Spirit pouring out on the disciples at Pentecost. The latter rain, or the spring rain, happens later on. So who's a farmer, like growing hay or crops? We had a lot of rain this spring, which made farmers probably delayed in getting things into the ground. But once you plant something, you have to water it. And you have to have that first initial good rain. And then later on, you need to have another rain in the fall. And that's to make your crops mature. So that symbolically is the final powerful or outpouring of the Holy Spirit to prepare believers to withstand the final crisis and spread the final warning message to the world. So the latter rain then perfects Christian character, enabling people to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, bringing the gospel work to its final completion. And how to receive it? Well, like we just said, the latter rain is received only by those who are constantly experiencing a daily renewal, which is receiving the early rain through prayer, repentance, and dedication to God. And this is from Sister White. The latter rain ripening earth's harvest represents the spiritual grace that prepares the church for the coming of the Son of God, a Son of Man. But unless the former or early rain has fallen, there will be no life. The green blade will not spring up unless the early showers have done their work. The latter rain can bring no seed to perfection. Pretty serious. So in the 40 days of prayer and devotions, part of it was on the Holy Spirit and the early and latter rain. And the author of that book also related that even for us to be able to even recognize the latter rain when it falls, we'll need to receive and have the early rain, baptism of the Holy Spirit, on a daily basis. And then testimonies to ministers, gospel workers, says the same thing. Unless we are daily advancing an exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we will not be able to discern or receive it. That's pretty serious. So I was raised in the church, and we studied about the Holy Spirit, I'm sure. But after going through this devotional, I started to realize, wow, I didn't really think about that before. Unless we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit daily in our lives, we're not going to be ready for the end. I don't want to be, and I'm sure you don't want to be, sitting in a pew and it's happening all around me, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I wouldn't be able to recognize it. I'll be lost. I won't be a part, if God allows, I won't be a part of the end time process of when the latter rain comes, that's when everything is going to happen all at once. People will be converted. People will be coming into the church. I want to be a part of that. I want to be able to be helpful in that area if I can, but I won't be able to understand that or even acknowledge it if I don't have the Holy Spirit daily. So it's okay for us to pray to the Holy Spirit every day. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. Be with us. So this is continuing from that same book. This is why the Lord is calling his children to daily receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit now and come out of their Laodicean condition. We are fast approaching the time of the full outpouring of the latter rain of the Spirit. God is giving us a merciful call or warning to prepare us for final worldwide Holy Spirit event. Only those who heed his call will receive the latter rain and be ready for Christ's coming. So, before I go into the last section, only those who heed his call will receive the latter rain and be ready for Christ's second coming. Okay. Let's look up Psalms 104:16. And get your trees ready, because we're going to take a look at those after I read that verse. Psalms 104:16. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted. All right. So we're going to be asking you a question. How is the sap in your tree? So if we have some microphones, can someone explain in your own words, and from what Nani did, how sap moves through a tree and why is it essential for the tree's life? Anybody a arborist? Arborist is the study of trees. How does sap work go? Why is sap? How does sap work in a tree? Anybody have any explanation?
It's a symbol. It has a meaning.
Okay. But for real, how does sap work in a tree? Does anybody know? Look at your trees. Yes. Right. Right. So we're going to go through this. So, sap is the lifeblood of a tree. So it's a liquid, it's sugary, filled with water. It has nutrients in it, it has minerals, and it's transported through the phloem. So if you look at your tree, it's coming from the roots, and it's going up into the tree. The tree's circulatory system acts as that. It carries water, again, nutrients, sugars. It's in a continuous flow between the deepest roots to the highest leaves, right? And it nourishes growth and repair, driven by evaporation in the summer and pressure changes in the spring, ensuring that the tree thrives through every season. So the phloem, it takes, like, it's, I'm repeating myself, but I just want to show you up here. It takes, transport sugars and plant hormones into the leaves. Actually, excuse me. The xylem transport water nutrients upward. So you're looking at your roots, and it goes up to the canopy. And then from the canopy, the phloem comes down. And it also does its work by producing photosynthesis, hormones, signal of growth and repair, distributed to roots and growing tissues. So if you ever saw a tree bleed sap, what usually happens? Comes down, it's soft and gummy. And if you cut a piece off, it will eventually repair itself. So like Joan said, the tree can't flourish without it. It won't survive, and it's going to die. So what are the spiritual implications? Just like the tree, we can't survive without staying connected to God, who is our source and strength. Just as it nourishes and sustains a tree, so does God's presence and word nourish and sustain us in every aspect of life, in every season. This sap, the Holy Spirit, is vital for spiritual growth, helping us to be resilient in God and fruitfulness. A tree deeply rooted bears fruit in abundance. And just as we read John 15:5, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Sap represents the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and empowers us to live godly lives. The Holy Spirit is our source of spiritual vitality, much like sap is to the tree. He enables us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And without that sap, as we just mentioned, we're not going to be ready for the latter rain, we're not going to grow, and we're going to die. So Matthew 3:11 says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So my question to you today is, does your tree have sap? And we can have experience with the Holy Spirit. John 7:37-38 says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So right now, Jesus invites us to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have it right now, all we have to do is ask for it. Do you need the Holy Spirit today? Again, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Thank you, dear Lord, for allowing us to be here today in your sanctuary, studying and learning about you and praising you. I ask you to bless us as we leave today and give us protection. Bring us back again next Sabbath to meet with you. And thank you for your love and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we are ready to meet you soon. In Jesus' name, amen.